Hello and welcome. I want to start by telling you what this is and what it isn't. This is an explanation of a piece of philosophy, but it is not made shallower. Every idea in the original is in here. What I've taken out is only the specialist vocabulary, the kind that quietly assumes you've already read three other books. You will learn a few new words along the way. That's on purpose. The whole point of this theory is that it hands you words for things you have experienced your entire life and never had a name for. Take the words away, and you've taken the theory away. So I'll teach them rather than dodge them. Nothing here asks you to know anything in advance. It only asks that you have been conscious, which you have. So let's begin with the question everybody asks. What is consciousness? People have argued about that one for thousands of years and gotten nowhere in particular. And this paper says something rather bold. There's a reason for that. The reason is that a great many people are asking a question that can't be asked. Here's the problem. In science, a good idea is one you could prove wrong. That's the test. If I say, all swans are white, you can go and find a black swan, and I'm finished. My idea was a real idea, precisely because reality could have contradicted it. But if nothing could ever contradict my idea, if there's no possible observation that would show me wrong, then a lot of thoughtful people will say, I'm not really making a claim at all. I'm just talking. Now that's a good rule. It has done enormous work. So people quite naturally point it at consciousness and ask, well then, how would you prove consciousness doesn't exist? What would that even look like? And here's the answer. And it's the very heart of this paper. Every test needs a tester. To prove anything wrong, somebody has to look at something. Somebody has to notice the result. Somebody has to understand what they've noticed and judge that it contradicts the claim. Looking, noticing, understanding, judging, those are all things consciousness does. They are consciousness doing its work. So if you set out to prove consciousness doesn't exist, you have to use consciousness to do it. The test requires the very thing the test is about. You can't get underneath it. There's no place to stand. And this isn't a clever dodge. It isn't, ha, you can't disprove me, so I win. It's something more precise, and the difference matters enormously. Consciousness isn't a thing inside your experience. It's the space your experience happens in. Let me give you the picture that makes this click. You can look for your keys in a room. You can look for your shoes in a room. But you cannot look for the room in the room. Not because the room is hidden. Not because you haven't searched carefully enough. But because looking is something you do in the room. The room isn't one of the objects in it. It's the condition for there being any objects to look at all. Consciousness is like that. Every thought, every feeling, every observation, every test, all of them happen in consciousness. So consciousness can't be one of the things you test. It isn't that kind of thing. Asking to prove it wrong is like asking, what's north of the North Pole? The question has the right shape, but there's nothing it can point at. The paper calls this the toy clarification, and it's careful, repeatedly and on purpose, to say this is not a new discovery. Descartes said a version of it. Kant said a version of it. Husserl said a version of it. Philosophers have known this for centuries. What the paper claims to add is smaller and more specific. It puts the insight in the language of proving things wrong, because that's the language a lot of scientifically minded people think in. Tell them, consciousness is a precondition, not a hypothesis, and they hear mysticism. Tell them, your test requires a tester, so your test is broken, and they hear the actual point. The paper calls this a sharpening, not a discovery, and I'd ask you to notice that it says so. That's an honest thing to admit. So, what's the payoff? It isn't academic. If you stop asking whether consciousness exists an enormous amount of energy gets freed up. Because now you can ask a far better question. Not, does experience exist, but what shape does it have? That's a question you can actually work on, and that is what the rest of this paper does. I'll see you in the next episode, where we start mapping the shape.